Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for coming out to learn with me today. I'm so excited to get to be here to share some words of Torah with you. In 1964, the show Fiddler on the Roof opened on Broadway, and it became an instant classic. And arguably the most iconic song from the entire musical is the first one, Tradition. But interestingly enough, Tradition wasn't part of the early drafts of Fiddler on the Roof. It actually didn't come around until much, much later. So what happened was the writers were trying to figure out, what's our musical about? What's the essence of our musical? And they were saying, you know, it's about the main character, Tovia, and his wife, and their daughters, and their life in the chateau, and their life in Russia, and how, you know, the hardships that they go through. And they were giving these long-winded answers. Until one day, one of them said, our musical is about tradition. That's it, it's about tradition. And instantly it stuck. That's exactly what it was. It was tradition. And that inspired them to make the song that became the opener song of the entire musical, that became the most iconic song of the whole musical. And it makes so much sense. Because if you're going to have a song or a musical about the Jewish people, it should be about tradition. We love tradition. And we speak about it in different ways. Sometimes we'll call it minhag. Sometimes we'll call it mesorah. But whatever word we put to it, we're talking about the same thing. And the Rishonim even coined a phrase to it. They said that minhag Yisrael, Torah hi, our traditions are themselves Torah. And this phrase, I have to admit, has always kind of confused me. Because the phrase means that the same way we're supposed to keep every mitzvah, the same way we're supposed to guard Shabbos, the same way we're supposed to eat kosher, the same way we're supposed to learn Torah, that's the way we have to keep our traditions. That's the way we're supposed to pass them down and guard them. And this applies both to personal family menhagim, but also to communal menhagim. But what gives a tradition so much magnitude? What's so important that it's Torah, that it's unchanging, that we pass it down, that we guard it? So I think our traditions fit into two categories. We have traditions that focus on the past, and we have ones that focus on the future. And I hope by unpacking these two categories a little and understanding them a little bit better, we'll gain a better understanding of what Minhag Yisrael Torahi is in a meaningful way. So let's start with Minhagim that focus on the past. And most menhagim that focus on the past are family menhagim, passed down from parent to child. And the first one that always comes to mind is Kiddush. Because there are so many ways that we can say Kiddush. We can say it standing. Some people say it sitting. Some people stand and sit halfway. Some people stand on Friday night and sit on Shabbos day. There's so many different variations of how people say Kiddush. And inevitably, if you ask someone, why do you do that? Why do you stand? Why do you sit? Why do you stand and then sit? Why do you stand now and sit then? Well, you know, why do you do any of it? They'll tell you, because that's the minhag I got from my parents. That's what they did, and so that's what I do. another min hug that's like this is waiting between eating meat and dairy. So there are so many variations. Some people wait 6 hours. Some people wait 5 hours. Some people wait 5.5 hours. Some people wait 1 hour. Some people wait 3 hours. So where does this all come from? Well, if you wait 6 hours, it comes from the Gemara. The Gemara talks about how they used to, how they would wait between one meal and the next. And so, what's one meal to the next? They calculated that to be 6 hours. And then the Rambam talks about it, and he says that we wait one meal to the next, and that's like 6 hours. So since he adds the word like, we say, what's like? Like it's 5 hours, 5 hours and 1 minute, 5 hours and 30 minutes, 5 hours and 31 minutes. There's so many interpretations of what like is. And so that's where 5 hours comes from. And then there's another minhag to wait 1 hour. And 1 hour comes from the Zohar. The Zohar talks about waiting 1 hour from meat to dairy. And the Ramah even quotes it. But what about 3 hours? Where does 3 hours come from? 3 hours actually doesn't have any source in the Rishonim. A lot of people like to say that it's based on a Pri Chadash. And the Pri Chadash explains that the Gemara says we wait between meals. And in the winter time, between meals is shorter. It's about 4 hours. And so some people take that and they say, well, if you can wait about 4 hours, which is sometime between 3 and 4 hours, and you can do that in the winter, so you can do that any time during the year. And that somehow gained traction. And now there are so many people who do that. They wait 3 hours. I actually have a friend who, when he got married, so he told me his family waits 3 hours. And when he got married, he went and he asked his rabbi. He said, what should I do? My family waits 3 hours, but I'm getting married. Maybe I should change to 5 hours, 5.5 hours, 6 hours. What should I do? And the rabbi asked him, well, where did this minhag come from? Why do you wait 3 hours? And he explained, well, my grandfather, he didn't grow up religious. He was Baal Tshuva. And when he started becoming religious, so the people around him kept 3 hours. And so that's what he did also. He also kept 3 hours. And so the rabbi said, well, if it came from your grandfather, and then that's what your father did, and then that's what you did, so you should keep 3 hours also. Because then your kids will keep 3 hours, and their kids will keep 3 hours, and that's the family minhag. So why do we care? Why do we care about keeping family minhagim? What's so important about it? I actually once heard a story that spoke to the point. And it was about a father who ate machine matzah. You know, those square matzahs that are perfectly made. And he did it because that was his family minhag. And his son goes off to learn, like many kids do, goes off to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year. And he comes back, and he says, you know, Dad, I've been learning a little, and I think I want to start eating shmor matzah. I think I want to start eating those round matzahs on Pesach. And the dad said, but our minhag is to eat the machine matzah. And the son said, I know, but I've been learning, and I think it makes more sense to eat the shmor matzah. So then that son grows up, and he has kids of his own, and his son goes off to learn in Eretz Yisrael, just like he did, and he comes back, and he says, you know, Dad, I've been learning a little, and I think I want to start eating machine matzah on Pesach. And the father said, you can't do that. Our minhag is to eat shmor matzah on Pesach. And the son said, no, Dad. Our minhug is that we don't listen to our fathers. And it's such a crucial point. What is so important about keeping the minhugim of our parents? It's about listening to them. It's about valuing what they value. It's about showing that what they taught us is correct. And so I think this teaches us something about Minhag Yisrael Torahi. We can say that Minhag Yisrael Torahi means that when you keep your parents Minhagim, it shows our belief in the Torah. The belief of Torah Mesinai that was passed down from parent to child, starting all the way at Matan Torah. So that when we keep our parents Minhagim, we show that we believe not only in the Minhag, but in everything they taught us. So Minhag Yisrael Torahi, it is the Torah. It's our belief in the Torah. The second category is traditions that focus on the future. And most of these minhagim that focus on the future are on a communal level. So we know the Torah tells us that when you eat bread, ve'achalta, ve'sabata, uverachta, Hashem elokecha, you should eat, you should get full, and you should bless Hashem. And it's talking about berachas hamazon. It's talking about benching. And benching is a mitzvah deraisa. But what many don't realize is washing on the bread before we bench, that's actually a minhag that was instituted by Chazal. Why? Because back when we had the base of Mikdash, so you would harvest your produce, and then you would have to give some of it away. And one of the first thing you would have to give away is truma. And truma goes to a kohen. And the kohanim had to wash their hands every time they ate truma and every time they touched truma to make sure that they wouldn't be matame the truma. They wouldn't make it impure. And so now that we don't have the base of Mikdash, we don't have truma, Chazal were worried that the Kohanim would forget about this halacha, about washing their hands before eating truma. And so what they did was they instituted that every single person in Klal Yisrael, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, everyone had to wash their hands before eating bread. We call it Srach Truma, which means the custom of truma. And so we don't do it now because we're not worried about impure hands touching bread, but we're worried that when the Beis HaMikdash comes back, the Kohanim have to be familiar with this halacha. Another minhag that we've kept is Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh itself, we know from the pasuk, HaChodesh Hazeh Yeh Lachem. You should make Rosh Chodesh. When you see the new moon, it signifies a new month. And what they used to do was the basin in Yerushalayim. Well, witnesses would go to the basin in Yerushalayim, and they would say, "I saw a new moon." And so the basin would then ask them, "Well, where did you see the new moon? And what did it look like? And what time of day was it?" And once the basin verified that what they were being told is true, so they would be Mekadesh the moon. They would sanctify it. They would say, it's a new month. It's Rosh Chodesh. And so every month in our lunar calendar actually has 29 days. But let's say 29 days came and passed, and nobody came to say, "I saw a new moon." So what they would do is they would have a 30th day to the month. And they would say on the 30th day, "Today we're treating as Rosh Chodesh. Because maybe somebody's going to come and they're going to say, 'I saw a new moon.'" And if day 30 passed, So they would make the next day Rosh Chodesh. And that would be the first of the month. And so there would be 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. Day 30 and day 1. And so now that we don't have a base of Mikdash, and we have our calendar is calculated, and we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is going to be from now until Akras Hayamim, until the end of days, we still have some months that have a one-day Rosh Chodesh, and some months that have a two-day Rosh Chodesh. And the reason's not because we're worried about, oh, are witnesses going to come? Are they going to see a moon? Are they going to testify? It's really so that we remember what it was like in Yerushalayim. That sometimes we had one day Rosh Chodesh, and sometimes we had two. And so when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, B'meher B'yameinu, it shouldn't be brand new to us. But rather, it will be a familiar feeling. Some months will be a one day Rosh Chodesh, and some months will be two. So what does this teach us about Minhag Yisrael Torahi? It's that the traditions passed down to us on a communal level are literally Torah. They're the halacha. They're what life will be like when the base of Mikdash is rebuilt. And so by keeping them, we're preserving the Torah. We're preserving the halacha so that when we get to, when Yerushalayim is Bishlei Muso, when it's fully rebuilt and we're doing everything again, we won't forget how to do this also. So I think if you combine these two approaches, it can show us how keeping Minhagim really has a meaningful effect on our lives. Because when we keep the Minhagim, whether they're Minhagim that focus on the past or Minhagim that focus on the future, it really infuses every single part of our lives, both with the belief that the Torah was given from a Kadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai, and with the belief that when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, we have to be ready for it. So Minhag Yisrael Torahi, Minhag Yisrael shows our connection to Torah, both to the Torah where it came from, and to the Torah where we believe it's going. Thank you so much for coming out to learn with me. It really was a pleasure to be here, to be back in person, and I look forward to coming again soon. Have a good day.